the edge of our hope, at the end of our time. We have chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
The strength of this starship lay in its diversity.
You see, our glorious diversity, that is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are.
You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away.
But we must fight this darkness that is threatening to engulf us. Each of us must be a ray of hope.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Welcome to the Skiffy Fanny Show.
Are you sure this was a Shoot the Wisp episode?
Yes, Paul, I was.
I'm not.
I'm Sean.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Alex.
And we are here today for a very special, very fun, very pleasurable discussion of Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
I would like the listeners to know at this point that even though this is not technically a torture cinema podcast, I'm drinking.
I think all of us are drinking.
Even I have something to drink, listeners.
That should tell you something about the tone of this episode. So before we dive into some of our personal perspectives on this and all that kind of stuff, and before Alex and I start frothing at the mouth, we should probably dive into this actual movie, tell you what it's about, and then give you our opinion. So Alex, that's your job today. You have been gifted this great, amazing pearl of a thing.
All right, so I'm going to take the lazy way out, and I'm just going to read you the summary from the review I wrote, because I don't think I can be any more concise than that with half a beer aboard. So, the story. Major Valerian and his partner, Sergeant Laureline, are federal agents sent on a mission to retrieve stolen property, a cute little animal known as a mule converter. It's the last of its species since the supposedly uninhabited bisentient life planet of Mule was destroyed almost 30 years ago. Of course, from the start of the movie, we know that Mule actually had a thriving civilization of tall, thin people made out of glitter called pearls on it. Valerian and Laureline bring the mule converter back to Alpha, which is the City of a Thousand Planets, and it's basically a giant space station that started in Earth orbit and then got launched out when it got too big to keep orbiting, and find out that there is a strange radiation zone that kills everyone who enters it, kind of like at the middle of Alpha, and it's begun expanding, so everyone's super worried about it. And their investigation of this radiation zone mystery leads them deep into a cover-up that someone has an interest in protecting with deadly force. And that's the basic summary of the plot. I will also note, just because this is going to come up a lot, there is a secondary plot that is basically Valerian being a creepy fuckboy at Laureline and constantly asking her why she won't marry him. And that's the romance subplot.
Wait. It first starts with, I think he's just trying to, like, get her to go on a date with him. And then it quickly becomes marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll talk about, I'm sure we're going to talk about, that's going to come up a lot.
I don't want to be in your playlist.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
If ever there could be just a really shitty reference to Guardians of the Galaxy. Ugh. So, I have opinions, I think.
So, you'll notice that the plot is actually, the overarching plot is not actually that complicated. But I'm sure we're all going to have opinions.
Yeah. So, why don't we start, I think we'll start with general reactions, and then we'll put up our spoiler wall, and then we will get into some of the real nitty-gritty specifics, which will, I think, be where a lot of our anger will come in. We would temporarily temper that, you know, we'll put the little bit of cover on it, keep it down, keep it at a low simmer, and then we will open the floodgates.
Take a deep breath. In with the cheesecake, out with the murder.
So Paul, we'll start with you with your general reactions. What did you think about this movie, Paul?
Well, I liked the first 3 minutes of this movie.
Yes!
Oh God, yes! It was so good!
This movie had such potential. Listeners, in the first 3 minutes of the movie, we get to see the future of human colonization in space from the space station growing, meeting new people.
No, that's not the first few minutes. The first few minutes is was the cute little tall weird people.
No. The first few minutes was you start with the space station and then...
Yeah, over the credits. Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
That's the credit sequence.
Oh yeah, I blocked that out of my memory.
I am dead serious. The first 3 minutes of this movie, like, oh yes, we have a space station, it's growing, we have all these people. 2130, aliens show up, cool. More aliens show up, more cool. Space station gets bigger and bigger. Now, okay, it's too big to be in orbit, we're going to launch it into space. That's how Alpha got started. It's Alpha's origin story. And it's the best thing of this movie by leaps, bounds, and light years.
Yes. It's an amazing sequence.
It is. It's one of the few good sequences. That and when we meet the what are called the pearls in the movie. That opening sequence of what happens to them. Those are the only parts of the movie that I actually purely enjoyed.
So, Paul, what did you think of the rest of it?
Well, as Sean said, the dream, vision, memory of the pearls that Valerian has was well done, nice and bright. The movie, thankfully, is not a Zack Snyder DC desaturation mess. The movie has color and light to it, which is good. Sometimes it's almost a little too bright. I mean, the beach scene, the desert where we have the interdimensional city, that I think they were a little too large. I mean, there's some lovely imagery and spectacle here, but often it goes by way too fast and you can't stop and enjoy what you're actually seeing, which disappointed me. It's like, Alpha looks cool. Oh, we're coming in with Alpha. And then it's just like chases and runarounds. And I mean, the one scene where Valerian's just like smashing through walls, we're getting millisecond glimpses of interesting things I would like to have lingered on. Like, much more interesting than what was the plot of the rest of the movie at that point. Like, I want to know more about that. Oh, it's gone. He just smashed through another wall.
So you're not as enthusiastic, I think, about the rest of the 8 hours of film?
Well, be nice and gentle because we're not past the spoiler wall yet. And I haven't taken out the flamethrower yet. Yes, I'm not as enthusiastic about any aspect of the remainder of this film.
Oh, great. Cool. So we won't have to pick on Paul as much as we thought we might have, Alec.
See, that's because Paul is a man of taste, so I kind of figured that's how it was going to go.
He does really like Black Hole.
Oh, wow! Oh, deep cut. Deep cut.
You know what, Sean? People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Your favorite movie is Mac and Me.
It's not my favorite movie. That's bullshit. That is a lie. That is slander. And I'm going to sue via Twitter.
I feel like I've suddenly wandered into the White House.
Yeah, that's one way of thinking about it. So, well, interesting. Okay, fair enough. We'll get into some of the specifics in there later, but let's jump to you, Alex. General thoughts?
All right, so basically, hard agree with Paul. Like, the opening sequence that is the origin story of Alpha set me up to have an expectation of the movie being really fun and playful and pretty, and it basically failed on almost all those counts, except it was super pretty. You know, don't get me wrong, it's a Luc Besson movie, and you can tell, because it's got his sort of trademark, you know, bright colors and unapologetically weird shit, and there's at least a pretty good smattering of practical effects, even if there's a shitload of CGI that I really didn't like. But, I mean, it's definitely got the feel of one of his movies, at least visually. And then once we got past, you know, honestly, I wasn't even that enraptured by the sequence with the pearls, because I was just like, oh my god, I'm in CGI cartoon hell, please get me out of here. But it was pretty. And it told an interesting story without, you know, without needing to translate everything into English. And it was a good way to get to know the culture, and then they get blown up and everyone's sad. Yeah, and then basically, so I had expectations of this movie being perhaps not as good as The Fifth Element, but, you know, kind of up there and sort of, like, weird and fun and colorful. And then Valerian shows up and the rest of it was shit, because Valerian was in it and everything he was in was shit, because he's an awful character. And that's my opinion.
I just want to say, as far as the Pearl sequence, I was reminded, as I was watching the Pearl sequence, because, as you do, I was reminded of the Star Wars Holiday Special. Now, for those listeners who haven't listened to our episode on the Star Wars Holiday Special, haven't watched it, at the beginning of the Star Wars Holiday Special, we get about half hour of Wookiees talking in Wookiee to each other without any subtitles and without a bloody clue what is going on. At least in this movie, they didn't use subtitles, but at least when they said things, it made sense what they were kind of saying, and in a couple of cases, they actually did translate when the meaning wasn't obvious. So the lack of translation here worked in a way that it didn't work in the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah, because the one that we follow, we know she's happy, because she's like stretching and she's walking and she gets her little cute little critter, and she's like, "Ooh, choo, choo, choo," to the critter. Like, we get it. we got the idea there wasn't any goddamn Wookiee human cross porn going on, right? Like, the whole scene is really, really, really well done. I was utterly riveted throughout that scene, especially the way it ends. It's horrifying.
Yes.
Anyway, so my general reactions, I guess I agree with everything we've said so far. I will add that after the first, I think, 6.5 minutes of film, this film prompts me to believe that what we need for all films is what we have for The Weather, which is you have a general representation of how long a film actually is, but then you have what is called how long it actually feels, just like with Weather. Because this film was not 6 hours long, but it felt like 6 hours long, because once the interesting stuff ends, it gets increasingly more awful. This is, I think, the most misogynistic film I've seen in a while that was, I don't think, trying to be misogynistic, but it is.
Well, I mean, it's a Luc Besson film, which means you're going to have a little bit of misogyny and a helping of racism is going to come with it. That's just how it is.
This is not a little bit, though. This is like a massive, heavy dose. This is like you went to like to Sam's Club and you got your 800-pound jar of misogyny rather than doing the sensible thing and maybe only buying a little bit, right? It's so absurd, the level. And I found so much of this I couldn't enjoy because the characters either weren't clicking together or characters were just flat out awful. Or their motivations didn't make a lot of sense, or, like, I mean, just a lot of this. The plot was just sort of meandering, and it was a mess, and it was confused. It wanted to be a funny movie, but then it also wanted to be serious. And I'm like, what kind of fucking movie do you want to be? Pick a movie. Or you can't be everything. And it just never seemed, it seemed like what this was Luc Besson trying to do The Fifth Element again, but, like, somebody stole his mojo and threw him down a flight of stairs and said, make a movie. And that's what we got. And it's not good. It's just awful. Save your money.
Well, I mean, basically, as I said in the review I put on my blog, this honestly just feels like Luc Besson's fan fiction of Valerian, in which Valerian is the wish fulfillment character who gets to fuck Laureline. It's not good.
No, it's that's awful.
Oh, that's an image I did not need, but yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to note that the thing to keep in mind is the sole script credit on the screenplay is Luc Besson, so he wrote it.
Yeah, can't pass the buck on that one.
But this is the weird thing, though, is like, I've seen some of Luc Besson's other lesser-known films. Like, he's done some straight-up French films, right, that don't get very wide releases because they're, you know, they're in French, and we just, for reasons, America just can't handle movies in other languages. And some of those films, like, are they perfect in their character presentations? No. But they're, like, really playful, and they're a lot of fun, and there's just a lot of really cuteness to it. And this film felt like it was trying to do that, but at no point did it ever reach that level. At all points, I just felt like I kind of just want everyone to be dead except the Pearl people. I just want them to be alive at the end and just have that be the story, is like them just running around, like on the beach, like grabbing pearls and making those weird little animals fart out bubbles. And just like, that's what I want for like 2 hours. It's just literally 2 hours of joy.
I mean, the thing that I'd be curious about is going through those and seeing how many of those scripts are co-written. Because like The Fifth Element has 2 screenplay credits. It's Luc Besson and Robert Mark Common.
I will look. I will see if I can find out.
We should save that for a later, like, off-podcast discussion, because right now we're just going to focus on Valerian and the City of 1,000 problems.
Okay. The one I was talking about, which is called The Extraordinary Adventures of Adèle Blanc-Sec, I probably mispronounced that name, he wrote the screenplay. It's based on a series of comic books, so similar, but it involves a female main character who is a little bit like Laureline, but from a different era, and is just wonderful and lovely. And yeah, I don't know. I just don't know what's going on with the life anymore. It's just everything doesn't make any sense. I just can't handle it, guys.
Yeah, I mean, there are things like, you know, even with, like, say, The Fifth Element, which I love, there's some really problematic shit with, say, with the way Lilu is treated, because she's, like, the special girl and all that, and there's a whole sexist wad of baggage that comes with that for all that she's super ass-kicking and I love her. But anyway, we should move on.
We should definitely move on. So I think at this point we've got our general reactions down, so we can probably dive into specifics. which means this is the spoiler wall. So if you don't want to be spoiled, pause it here, go watch the movie, come back.
Don't go watch the movie.
Hear what we have to say, and then scream at your podcast while we're talking and disagreeing with you about everything.
Be like, why didn't you tell me to not go see this movie? And I'll be like, but I told you to not see this movie, gentle listener, and you didn't listen to me. I will not be held responsible.
We both said that. I literally said, don't go and save your money.
We have warned you.
There you go. So, spoiler wall up, we can dive in. I think, because I know, Alex, you have a lot of opinions on this particular subject that I think we should just dive into right away. And so could I just get like a couple words in and then just like let you read your dissertation on this?
Please.
Okay. Because I know you've written one. You've got like a 500-page dissertation about just the misogyny and awfulness. And I just want, there are like a couple things I want to talk about. So, one, the chemistry between Dane DeHaan?
What chemistry? What chemistry?
There is none. And this is what's really frustrating. So the storyline is, like, when we first introduced to them, right, we get this narrative of the Pearls, these sort of really interesting, like, alien people. We get this beautiful, like, landscape in this world. And then it all goes to crap, right, because something's going on, like, ships are crashing into the world and it destroys everything. And that heartbreaking scene when they're all locked in the spaceship and the daughter is outside. And we don't even have to know the words. It's just, like, you can see the fear. And then all that gets, like, into Dane DeHaan's head. Somehow, we learn about that later, right? And then immediately they're on a beach, and like right from the moment they show up, my first thought is, oh, they're kind of a couple, right? Like clearly, like they've got a little bit of playful banter here. Like maybe they're just kind of doing a little bit of that like hard to get kind of fun play that sometimes couples do. And I was like, all right, fine. And then like immediately after that, I realized, no, they're not together. He's just like creepily hitting on her, and this scene is really weirdly written. Just so that he could continue to try to get in her pants throughout the movie. And then, like, from there on, like, nothing makes any sense about their relationship. And it got increasingly frustrating because he would constantly bring up stuff. And I'm like, but we've had nothing set up here. It seemed to me that what this film was trying to do was what Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2 did across two separate films. Which is set up a relationship between two characters, a man and a woman in this case. Right, imply the possibility in the first section that there might be a possible romantic linkage, but don't fulfill it. And then the second one, kind of go into it a little bit more, make it a little bit more explicit, but don't quite go all the way into it. This film kind of does all of that, but it rushes all of that sort of subtlety in a way that makes this almost cringeworthy. And that drove me up the wall. Every time he was like, I want to marry you, like, what's your answer to my proposal? And I'm like, she has said no to you like 12 times. Take the goddamn hint and go find someone else. And like, there's no shortage of other people you can have sex with. Like, there's no shortage for this guy. So if there is supposed to be this like linkage between them, there's nothing to suggest to me that the linkage exists. The only thing that connects them is that they happen to both work for the federal government together.
And they've been partners together, and I wonder, and the movie doesn't quite explain, and I would like to know, in the context of the movie, I know in the context of the comics for a long time, how long have they supposed to have been worked together, and why hasn't she killed him before now?
We don't know. None of that information that's like, we get info dumps about other shit that we don't fucking need to know, but we never get anything telling us, like, you know, like, a little line, like, saying, like, we've been partners for, you know, so-and-so years, right? Like, why is this coming on now? And, like, maybe something exploring that. But nothing. There's nothing. We're just like, thrown into it.
And that gets me into another thing about this movie. But not only do these two characters not have chemistry, but they both look like they're in their early 20s. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. So you've been a major for how long? Aren't you a little young to be a major, Major Valerian?
But don't you know he's just really good at it?
Well, he is the white boy. I mean,
basically, he got a white posted up the command ladder to major, and she's only a sergeant. I mean, it took most of the movie for me to actually give her a title. I was wondering, okay, if he's a major, then, oh, maybe she's a captain, maybe a lieutenant. No, she's a sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's the far more, shall we say, competent of the two.
Yes, infinitely so, except when it's convenient to show that Major Valerian is competent.
Yeah.
In which case, suddenly she becomes incompetent.
And until he needs to come rescue her.
Right. Like, the scene when she's kidnapped by those creatures, there's no real fight on her part at all until after he rescues her.
There are a lot of different levels of problem with that particular scene that I will be happy to explore in detail.
Well, I'm sure the bubble bits That wasn't what I was immediately thinking of, but I know.
No.
Well, no. I'm not even talking about the stuff with Bubble.
Are you talking about the cosplaying bits?
Yeah, that and... Okay, well, fine. We'll just launch into this. Okay, so there's this scene... And then I'll come back to why I hate Valerian with the fiery passion of a thousand suns. So basically the situation is they've gone into the radiation zone and, you know, Valerian goes in first and Laureline goes to find him because he cannot fend for himself, despite the fact that he's a major. She finds him and then she gets caught by these aliens who take her off into this place and Valerian follows and he's like, oh shit, I can't go in there looking like a human because it'll cause a giant diplomatic incident. So then he goes off into the red light district and he meets Bubble, and we're going to talk about Bubble more later because she is the best character in the film and she got totally fucked by this film and I'm so angry about it. But anyway, Bubble is a shape-changing alien and she can kind of like, she's sort of like a gelatinous alien, so she can kind of like cover him and make him look like one of these aliens, and then they go in because they're trying to avoid a diplomatic incident. And then, you know, Laureline, she has been playing along the entire time because she knows that she doesn't want to cause a giant diplomatic incident. Are you sensing a theme here? And what she doesn't realize, because she doesn't speak their language, is that these aliens, who are a super racist, gross stereotype, want to, like, dress her up and take her to their king, and he will eat her brain. So, as she is about to get her brain eaten, Valerian, who has gotten in there and hasn't managed to rescue her yet, but it's been sort of cute, whatever, is like, oh shit, Laureline needs my help, and he, like, suddenly whips around, grabs a bunch of swords, starts fucking killing aliens left and right, murders their king, and then Bubble pops off of him, and we see he's a human. Ta-da! But we're avoiding diplomatic incidents.
Yeah, I should also mention that Laureline is wearing an exaggerated version of the hats they have in Handmaid's Tale.
No, it's not like blinders. The whole joke with that hat is that it's basically like if you took a dinner plate and cut a hole in it so the top of her head can stick through so the alien can crack up. Yeah, that is not what the handmaids wear, Sean.
I'm just saying that hat is absurd.
No, the hat is absurd. But it's a Luc Besson movie. It's supposed to be absurd. The costuming was fine. But it's just the entire, like, put together of that scene. And so, like, the whole thing is like, oh, we're sneaking around, diplomatic incident, da-da-da-da. Then Valerian murders a shitload of people, including the king, and nothing happens. It's okay. Hey, Laureline, will you marry me?
No, I won't. Yeah, basically. I think that's the eighth no he received.
Yeah, it's just so, like, that entire sequence is just kind of, as a writer, I feel very insulted by it. Like, if I wrote anything that logically inconsistent, anyone who read my story would have me pilloried, and rightfully so. Like, that was some bullshit.
And it throws under the bus what happens later when he's all of a sudden like, oh yeah, I'm totally really interested in following the rules because we can't let them have the mule converter and to go rescue their planet. Like, I'm like, but you just like killed a bunch of people when you were told not to.
Including a king.
But then there's the other side of it, which is like, but okay, why does this section of the station exist? It's like this weird lawless, like the rules of Alpha don't apply in this one weird spot, but they can kidnap people and eat their brain?
Yeah, federal agents, no less. And she says she is like, isn't this a problem that Alpha should have long dealt with if there's a lawless area that their agents can't go into without fear of getting eaten? I would think a competent government would have taken steps this long ago. Well, maybe they have the equivalent of the White House running their foreign relations. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they've got something in that vicinity because, of course, Clive Owen plays Mr. Evil Pants in this.
Well, they can track them at that point, so it's obvious they have surveillance. But can I backtrack to why I hate Valerian?
Yeah, of course, sure.
Since we kind of skipped ahead, but you said I would have my moment.
Your moment is here.
Okay, so, you know, Sean has already mentioned that Valerian is a major, Laureline is a sergeant, they're partners. So, already, like, the minute I found out that they were supposed to be, like, partners, the entire first sequence where they're, like, in the holodeck and rolling around in bathing suits becomes incredibly creepy and skeevy. And so, understanding the entire time that they are partners and he is of a significantly higher rank than her, you know, the way he acts towards her is already super fucking creepy to begin with, because it is literally, first he's trying to like hit on her, and then he's trying to get her to go on a date, and then he's trying to fuck her, and then he's trying to get her to marry him. And the entire time, he doesn't seem to understand that no means no, which is a trope that I wish would die, because all it does is it teaches young men, or men of all ages, that if a woman says no, she doesn't really mean no. Just keep asking until she gives in to get you to shut the fuck up because she's afraid you're going to murder her.
Right. Persistence pays off. That's how you get the girl.
Yeah. So it's like, basically, this story keeps getting told over and over again that says, no, no, just harass a woman until a no becomes a yes and you will be rewarded. And that's super disgusting. And it's extra disgusting because it is a work relationship. So, like, this is literally the definition of a hostile work environment full of sexual harassment. And, you know, anyone who has ever been a woman in society has had that horrible moment where the coworker who is higher on the food chain is hitting on you or your boss, and you're like, oh my God, what do? Because if I tell them to fuck off or punch them like I do normally, I might get fired or other repercussions could happen. So it has that dynamic too. And that's extra creepy. And the thing is, Dane DeHaan delivers all of this with all the charm of a stalker, which is actually right on point. If he'd been charming about it, it actually would have been even more upsetting. Every scene this character was in was just basically offensive. And the thing that bothered me even more than just like Valerian being a disgusting fucking stalkery, rapey creeper is that, you know, they're having this really important thing that they're trying to figure out where there's like, so they're basically, you know, I said at the summary, they're investigating this cover up. What it's literally covering up is the war crime of the guy who's the head of the military. Like, this is a big fucking deal, right? Like, this is a huge plot. And also they're discovering that a people they thought didn't even exist, and they're not extinct. And, you know, a lot of really important fucking stuff. And every time there is a step in the plot that occurs that advances them towards the conclusion that there's war crimes and they need to fix something, Valerian immediately derails Laureline, like, being like, okay, we gotta do a thing and work on this plot. And he's just like, but why won't you marry me? To the point that when they are in the fucking hangar with the pearls, which, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this more later, and, like, shit is going down, he still just takes a moment to be like, but let me make this about me and how much I want you and you won't marry me.
It's frustrating. It's super frustrating.
Like, if you could just delete the entire character of Valerian from this movie, it would actually probably be watchable.
Another thing to that, too, is it's mentioned at the beginning when we're first introduced to them that he's had other partners, and something has happened to those other partners.
Oh, God, maybe he harassed them all until they left the service.
Or they quit because he had sex with them, then he doing exactly what he's doing now, which is trying to give the impression that he's really, like, I want a relationship. Like, that trope also needs to fucking die. And she's just, for some reason, has caught on to the scheme. Because they talk about his conquests, right? They talk about his playlist. And I think they show it to us.
Yes. Very briefly.
They do. It's like, yeah, 100 images flying along the walls. And and Laureline says, yeah, I don't want to be another one on your playlist. And then he jumps into the whole stupid marriage thing.
Like, how creepy is it that you know how many people that your coworker has fucked?
Why is he keeping a list? Who the fuck does that?
Major Valerian, of course.
Yeah. Like, even if you're keeping a list, you don't keep the names and the faces. You keep, like, I don't know, like, leaving creepers that keep lists don't do that.
I mean, it's like, it's almost like a serial killer list. Like,
yes! There are people he's murdered. After, like, that's what he is. He's a giant murderer.
He's murdered them with his dick.
Oh,
I mean, no. There's just so much about it that's gross. And I'm like, I think it's supposed to be charming, which just makes it grosser. And I'm like, set it on fire. Never let this happen again. But, you know, it's going to, you know, this is basically the plot line of every romantic comedy ever, which is super upsetting.
True. But like, he's not that charming. Like, okay, so here's the thing.
Oh no, God, he's disgusting.
Like, he is really disgusting.
Dane DeHaan has, you know, the charm of, like, an anal cyst. He is, I don't know why anyone hires him for anything but, like, playing serial killers.
Right, or like, disturbed poor people, like, when he was in Chronicle. Right? Like, yeah. But, like, this is the thing, is there's a reason I keep making these Guardians of the Galaxy comparisons, because so much of this film feels like Guardians of the Galaxy, but watered down. Because even his character, right? Like, there's so many things that are similar to Chris Pratt's character of Star-Lord. But for some reason, the way they write Star-Lord makes him more charming. And even though we're like, yeah, he's kind of a dick because he is, like, running around sleeping with a bunch of random people, we kind of can see the progression, like, but he's trying to leave some of that behind. He has found something that is more valuable.
He must find the holy state of heterosexual monogamy.
Sure, and I'm not suggesting that's a narrative that needs to be always forwarded, but at least there is that, like, narrative breadth. But even when he is being kind of, like, a sexist douche, like, there's still a little bit of, like, you can understand why people might fall for him a little bit. You can kind of see it. But here I'm like, who wants his dick? Who wants it?
Well, and the other thing with Star-Lord is whenever he's being a super sexist douche, somebody slaps him down.
That's true. He does get slapped down, and very handily.
You're not going to seduce me with your pelvic sorcery, as Gamora says.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
It is.
So, like, I was going to say, from here, can we also pivot to talk about Bubble? Because, I mean, she is unfortunately directly related to Valerian.
I have many problems with the narrative of Bubble.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, there's a lot of problems to pick apart with Bubble, but I also want to point out, because you know how we were talking about, like, we don't know anything about Valerian and Laureline, we don't know how long they've been partners, etc., etc. Other than the pearls, Bubble is basically the only character, okay, and the bad guy, Bubble is basically the only character in the entire movie who has an actual backstory, so that we can understand her motivations and get where she's coming from and understand where she's trying to go. No one else has any kind of goddamn backstory.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. That she's given a backstory.
And it explains, like, why she's in this show, you know, the super sexist extravaganza, and why she goes with Valerian, because he offers her a way out, which, you know, as she's been put in that situation, then makes sense. And, you know, Even her character is much more clear, because you can see that even though she is in a desperate situation, she makes this point of being like, I am an artist. So even though I'm not, you know, perhaps not doing everything that I want to be doing because I'm stuck with this pimp, I'm still trying to make art out of what I have, which makes her a really cool character. And then she summarily gets killed off for absolutely no reason, because fuck this movie.
It was revealed that she died, because I was thinking, okay, so the rest of this movie is going to have the three of them, right? Right?
Yeah, no. Right?
We're gonna kill off Bubble, and I'm going, oh, you bastards.
Well, and I thought, like, maybe she was messing with him, and then she turns into sand, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
I mean, this is an issue of, like, this movie has a lot of really great secondary characters who get treated in, like, really dumb ways, either by the narrative or by characters within the story itself. So I'm sure eventually we'll talk about the three, like, I don't know what they are, like, flying gargoyle creatures?
Little bat elephant things, like...
They look like platypi or something.
Batapie.
Yeah, there you go, it's the bat pies, yeah. Battle pies, yeah, whatever they are. I'm sure we'll talk about them later, but, like, they're an example. But also Bubble, because Bubble is this great character who's played remarkably well by Rihanna, who gives a pretty damn good performance. I was very surprised by...
Oh, she's so good.
Because I know she'd done some voice acting, but she actually acts in this. Like, she gives some decent performance at various points, and then she kind of reverts to the voice acting because they make her into a giant blue cartoon monster. But I hated her introduction, because what we get is, really, it's just a scene so that Dane DeHaan can have a boner for an hour. And, you could have reduced that scene. We didn't need to have that much of it. And then once we kind of get Rihanna's character, she's such an interesting character, and I'm like, oh, this is great. We're going to get this very interesting story of kind of, like, maybe our character Valerian will kind of redeem himself by doing the right thing and helping her, and she'll help him, and they'll become buddies, and, like, then that'll be part of, like, his little core. It'll become his own, like, little happy group of people. But then she just, like, gets killed after being badass and, like, fighting bad guys peacefully, because she doesn't, I don't think, actually kill anybody. She just, like, dodges. But I just, like, I felt like the whole time, as soon as it got to the end, it was like, seriously, you took Rihanna, you made her into this very interesting role, and she's gone in 5 minutes. Are you fucking kidding me?
And you had a potential theme here of, and tying in with the theme of the pearls of illegal immigration, the problems of people who don't belong or in a place against their will and trying to find a way to survive. She's part of that theme, and then you just killed her off? She's supporting your main theme of the whole movie that the pearls are running through, and you just summarily chop that away? That's very bad storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Well, after she got validated by the white guy, which is very important.
Ah!
Yeah. Like, as Bubble is dying, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna look like, you know, like an Egyptian queen, and oh my god, I mean, Rihanna is so beautiful, I just
okay, can't. Yes. Yeah,
no. But then she, you know, Valerian's like, oh, well, you're a super good artist, and then she's like, oh, you think so? And then she dies. Like, that's all she needed was to be, and it's this continual thing that keeps happening, because it's always like, so, I mean, the one nice thing is the humans are clearly the villains in this movie because of what the bad, you know, the scenery chewing bad guy does. But it's also very much like, oh, the aliens can't, you know, the aliens must always be rescued by the humans. Like, Bubble has to be rescued from her bad situation and then validated by Valerian so she can die in his arms. And I also want to add like a super bonus for how gross it was that when she's like in her cute blue alien form, Valerian actually asks her to go back to normal, which means her sexy human form, and that was gross. But then, like, the pearls, who are obviously super fucking badass, because they've apparently just, like, learned how to be super good at technology in 30 years as a refugee population. Holy shit, they're amazing, but, you know, they need Valerian's intervention in order to finally get their shit together. I don't know, it's just... There was a lot of stuff with the way the humans interacted with the aliens that I really didn't like that was also counter to the narrative of Alpha being this, the city of 1,000 planets with everyone equal.
Yeah, I mean, going back to that where Loreline was captured and Valerian is free, I mean, if you could think of that, like, oh, so Valerian's going to murder the primitive cannibalistic natives.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the set dressing and, like, all of the visuals and the aesthetic for that section with those aliens was, like, pure 1940s jungle witch doctor voodoo movie, and it was incredibly upsetting.
Yep. Fantastic racism, so to speak.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know, just because you make them, like, actual aliens doesn't actually make it less racist. We can see what you're doing.
Yeah, this film does some of that, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about the batapuses, the platabats.
The batapi. Like, initially I didn't like them, but they grew on me. I liked them.
They're apparently big in the comics, I understand.
Yeah, I know. Ivona, my housemate, mentioned them and she really likes them. And she was glad they were in the movie.
I really liked their character. What never made sense to me was, like, this film so often has characters who are clearly really have really good skill sets. That no, everyone just treats them like shit. So, like, Bubble, right? No, like, clearly Bubble, she's a morpher. Why the hell is somebody in this federal government not being like, we need to recruit her? Because she could be really effective for some of this bullshit that Valerian can't fucking do correctly. Like, when they're in the weird hologram world, the alternate dimension world, and he just fucks all of that up, right? No, the solution to that is you send her. Because she can morph, and she could totally blend in. Problem solved, right? No, but we don't do that. Like, we'll have her be a prostitute an exotic dancer. I think it's implied that she might also be a prostitute.
Well, considering that the dude is her pimp, yeah, it's pretty heavily implied.
Yeah, because basically that whole sequence of her changing was like, so what form do you want her to be in, so to speak? So yeah, it's definitely prostitution, not exotic dancing.
Yeah, so instead we get that for her. And then these three bat pies, platypus bats, whatever we're gonna call them, they have this uncanny ability to have the knowledge that everyone needs at all times. How they have it, we don't know. But everybody, Valerian, Laureline, the guy who eventually becomes commander, the general, treats them like crap. Everyone treats them like total and utter garbage. And my whole thought this whole time is, why? They are one of the most useful people you have on the whole fucking place of Alpha, and you're treating them like trash because they look weird?
If
it's not racism, it's certainly just bigotry that makes no sense whatsoever. And this film does it over and over and over in ways that are just so, for me, were so grating because I could tell just how stupid it was and just how poorly structured this society was. The only racism that made sense
it was like Clive Owens, like, I accidentally wiped these, or sort of kind of intentionally wiped these people out, and now I'm trying to, like, wipe them out for good. That to me made more sense than any of the other stuff. Because at least I understood his motivations, as evil as he is. I don't agree with him, just to be clear. But yeah, so that's my view.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you can be like, his motivations make sense as a shitty person who made a shitty decision and is now trying to cover it up. And, you know, he feels like he's got so much sunk into it that he just, you know, he has to keep killing off ever-widening circle of people to keep the secret. Like, that is not to say he's a good person, but you understand why he's doing what he's doing, because he's a horrible person and he's trying to cover his ass. Like,
well, and he also tells us that he, in his mind, he believes that if this information got out, it would just collapse the entire Earth economy. Like, it would just be a political disaster for them.
True. So he's at least talked himself into a place where he's doing the right thing, which is a thing people do. Like, okay, he's a shitbag, but it makes sense, you know?
But the Batapies, there's no justification for that. They're the most useful characters in the whole frickin' movie.
Yeah. I mean, all I can guess is you get, well, it's again, you get the sense that there's some history between, like, them and Laureline, but we have no idea what it is. You know, give us a couple lines to tell us why she's kind of hostile to them. Like, that's all I needed. Because it's obvious, you know, they're in the information selling business. So that's like a two-edged sword. That could be like, well, you sold someone some information about me and I didn't like it. Okay, now we understand why Laureline doesn't like them. There we go.
She got written up, right? That's all you need. A little line that said, the last time I talked to you guys, you revealed something to my bosses and I got a reprimand. When she's in a military situation, so like a reprimand isn't like, don't do that again, Laureline. Like, she got in some trouble, she got demoted, right? Or something. Right, that would make sense, because then it would be like, okay, I now get her individual animosity. But what about the general? He's just a dick to them. He's just like, eh, you're just these weird, creepy creatures. What the hell do you want? We have information. Oh, okay, I guess I'll sort of buy it, but I'm not going to be happy about it. Why? Why? I'm sorry. I was so mad.
Yeah, he's just grumpy. I mean, Valerian even says, oh, your fans are here, so Valerian knows them. So they could, yeah. So maybe they all three of them had met at some point, but it's like, What the deal with that is, and it would have been nice to have explained that, had that little bit of character interaction, but yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, I like it when, you know, especially with films, you have to kind of throw us into the middle of things, but you still have to, you know, and that's part of, like, the craft of writing a good script, is being able to put the audience in the middle of something, and still explain to them enough of what's going on that they get the context and understand why people are doing what they are doing without having, like, an as-you-know Bob. And so it's basically, I mean, so many of the problems that this film had just come down to the script sucked. Like, there are just unforgivable things with how it was written.
I was sad speaking the script. I know this might be I kind of understand why they did, because I wanted to focus on the main characters. I mean, Our villain is knocked out and off screen for way too long. And basically only, I mean, it basically stuff that he set in motion long ago is what drives the final conflict. And that felt very unsatisfying to me. Like, because if you didn't have those creepy robot things there, this movie doesn't have a final climactic action. I mean, they just, the people just stand down, no. And the threat's over, but no, because he had set this up is the only reason why we have a climactic battle. It's just, yeah.
Well, it felt like we got to him and the robots and the, oh, there's a radiation zone and all that, too late almost, because it's like, you know, we get the opening sequence, we get the thing with the pearls, then we get Valerian having the dream about the pearls, and I'm going to, you know, for the moment, set aside how much I hate him. And then there's, like, that long-ass sequence when they're getting the mule converter, which I know does play into it, because it kind of gives us the idea, oh, like, there's, you know, that those might be the pearls, and the mule converter, and that has to get brought back to the station. But then suddenly you get to the station, and they're like, oh, yeah, and there's this radiation dead zone, and da-da-da-da, and all these things are happening, and you're just like, where is all this coming from? What I'm guessing is that the sequence with them in the market, like, that went on way too fucking long anyway. And I think it's because they wanted to show, it's 3D, and they wanted to show it off, and they wanted to show off their effects. And this movie had a similar problem to Jupiter Ascending, in that so many of the action sequences, particularly, like, the one in the market, and then the one where Valerian is, like, chasing the Pearl spaceships, there is no good connection to make us understand what the stakes are, what this is telling us about the characters, how this relates to the greater story. It's kind of like, you know, the weird, you know, we're going to have like a Gundam video game break toward the end of Jupiter Ascending, where I was like, I don't even know what this has to do with anything. And plus, it's all CGI. And since they can do so much rendering with CGI and have so many things going on at once, like, I don't know about you guys, but I personally actually have a really hard time keeping track of what the fuck is even happening in a lot of these scenes. Like, half the time, I couldn't tell what was going on, like, when he was chasing a spaceship around. I'm like, oh my god, it's just, like, shit flying at the screen, and I don't know what's happening, and I don't know why I even care. And it just seems like that keeps happening in these movies, where they're so in love with their own effects that it becomes completely divorced from the story.
The beginning of, now I'm going to invoke a certain franchise, the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, that whole sequence where they're trying to get to General Grievous' ship feels and looks and shows just like a video game, and it annoyed the crap out of me. Yeah, I mean, like, having grown up on Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and practical effects, it's just like it looks like they're playing a video game trying to get to the ship, and this movie suffers the same thing. The chase through the market, the shapeshift stuff looked cool when he was chasing them. It's like, oh, the ship's now split into 12. But yeah, it just felt video gamey and not real, any connection to plot or reality in any sorts of way. It just felt like images flying by on the screen that looked pretty, but that's about it.
But like, also, like, once you realize what the story is at the end of it, which is that these people are trying to get their planet back and reveal what happened to them, I'm like, but like, couldn't you have all just like showed up one day and been like, hey, yo, so like you guys fucked up our planet. What up? Like, I mean, what's stopping them from like going to this version, this world's version of the press? Like, I just don't understand. Like, it made no sense. So they're behind this weird like dimension gateway thingy, but they don't need to be. Clearly they can come out. And I just don't understand what's stopping them. Because it's clearly not Clive Owen. Like, he's sort of trying to stop them, but he doesn't have the manpower to really do it.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, he's only just realized that it's his sins of his past come home to roost when he captured the one pearl. I mean, that's the other thing, is even though the movie shows us, you know, in some very pretty sequences, like those I can remember because you'd get like a static shot with a few things moving in it. It'd be like, you know, the underwater aliens or whatever. At least that I remember. Like, I could not tell you what happens in any of these chase scenes because I just didn't care. But anyway, like, it makes a very clear point about there's these other alien species that are also super important to the operation of Alpha. And we even see the Pearls sort of, you know, on the fringes of that, like when they're getting the knowledge from the robot-y guys. But it's almost like they're still in this vacuum where the Pearls, for whatever reason, like, couldn't go to some of the other aliens. Like, you know, humans are pieces of shit. Maybe we should go talk to these other guys. Like, that was kind of weird, and it didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because they kind of try to explain what happened. So the Pearls escaped from the planet on the derelict ship. Then they got caught up by slavers, basically, and then basically fought themselves free and then wound up at the station. But at that point, yeah, they decided to blend. At that point, okay, so you've arrived at the station. So they're illegal immigrants, like Bubble. And so instead of going to authority, they decide to go slinking in the shadows and trying to work out things that way. There's a whole theme here that this movie doesn't really explore, because the plot and script are shit, of whole illegal immigration and human rights and the rights of immigrants and all that stuff. I mean, my original tagline before I got so annoyed about this movie that I switched it to a snark about its quality was about, my original timeline was, come, and this is what I wrote as I walked out of the theater, come for the visuals, stay for the themes of war crimes and illegal immigrant rights. And the movie tries that, and it fails because the script is shit. And the movie doesn't know what it's about. If this movie knew what the bleep was about, it had two better leads, this movie could have been something. Damn it!
Yeah. And it tries to be so many of those things, but it never succeeds at being any of them. And that's a, another of its problems. Like, if all of this story had just been about, like, a more condensed version of that overarching narrative and thrown out all that other garbage, would have made more sense, because we'd have had something more contained and we could have seen sort of like the mystery element being unveiled. But we don't ever get that. Like, we really just get an info dump at the end where everything's revealed to us. But the main characters don't really discover anything. And even the big reveal when they're like walking around Clive Owen and telling the story of what they think happened, like, that's our big reveal, is they just made a guess based on almost no evidence whatsoever as to what was true. And I'm like, that's not how it works. Why is Clive Owen this dumb? But of course, it's because he has to be, because he's got to be a big evil bad. I don't know. And like the info dump at the end, I mean, so much of what we're talking about is just like all of these flaws that are in the plotting, missing pieces to the plotting. Like, why didn't they just have a line that said, we tried talking to the other races, but they wouldn't get involved with us because fucking Clive Owen kept showing up and being like, don't fuck with my shit or I will get you. Tell me where they went. And like, that could be like the thing, like a little passing line that maybe Laureline and Valerian could mention, which is like these little ghost stories that people keep hearing of this weird people that keep showing up trying to ask for help and not getting what they, like, they're just really dangerous or something. Like, anything to give us some sense that there really is a real mystery here, and not this thing where it's like, oh, well, this area is irradiated and no one can go into it. I'm like, well, but like, that's not, like, clearly someone's gone in there and come out. Like, there's no evidence to show that they even are doing that. Like, taking people and not letting them out. Like, there's no evidence that that's happening.
And with thousands of aliens in Alpha, and there's thousands of different kinds of aliens in Alpha, that makes it clear, there isn't a species that's, say, radiation resistant? Like, hey, Pentherites, you guys are pretty hardy to radiation. Why don't you go into this radiation zone and find out what's going on? Sure, we're all part of Alpha together. Let's go find out what's in this radiation zone. Radiation doesn't bother us. We got resistance.
You'd think
with all those aliens that there'd be some race that they would, some species that would be perfect to go poking in there and finding out what's going on. But no.
Why don't they send in the super robots, the caissons or whatever they're called, that are like Clive Owen's personal bodyguard? Because they clearly can defend themselves, so send them in.
Yeah, I mean, I think, gentle listeners, what you're hearing is a lot of frustration on our parts, because when you look at this movie, you can see the potential. It's kind of like with Jupiter Ascending. Like, when you look at the movie, you can see how it could have been good. And it's so frustrating that it's not good.
They spend so much time on world building that doesn't matter to the story. Like, showing what you talked about before, Alex, that cool, like, other dimensional place. They spend so much time telling us and showing us this place and how interesting it is, but very little of the actual story takes place there. And yet all of the things where we need some explanation or some showing of what's really going on, we never get that. We just get either info dumps. Like, I mean, there's literally the moment where they just, like, tell us, like, Valerian talks to his computer and is like, tell me stuff about Alpha. And then Alpha tells us lots of random ass facts about it, or the computer does, and I'm like, why do we need this? None of that information is important. Everything that none of that comes up later. It never comes up again.
There's one throwaway bit. They talk about the AI. I forgot the AI has a name. But I've forgotten. They mentions about, do you want to hear about the economic slowdown in the last year? And they said no. Don't bother us with that detail. I wonder if that was supposed to be a hand wave towards the fact that there's this quote-unquote radiation zone and that's why things are going wrong. But they mentioned some sort of economic depression. So, but yeah, it's like, I love my world building. I love building worlds, but yeah, it doesn't go anywhere. But I suspect in my cynicism that, oh yeah, if we're going to make this a franchise, that whole sequence in that other dimension, and because the John Goodman alien that he steals the, little converter creature from. He says, I will get you if I have to chase it to the ends of the galaxy. That's obviously trying, theoretically, to set up a future conflict in a future movie, but that's no excuse for putting it here now. Make it useful and relevant now and the future. I mean, you could have not had that entire planet. and it's other world stuff, and this movie would not be that substantially different. It's a diversion. It's a distraction. It looks cool. And Luc Besson even gets his poke at the ugly American tourist trope, which is nice. But yeah, it's just worthless. It doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything. Like, these characters are just throwaways. They're just like little bits and pieces of things that are like, oh, look how lived in this world is. And I'm like, that's great. But like, these things have to matter. And if they don't matter beyond those moments, why are they here? Yeah, I don't know. I said it in my intro thing, and then I think we'll probably maybe want to move on here to grading this and going on with our lives. I said at the beginning, right, this film felt like it wanted to be a lot of different things, but couldn't actually land, like, to stick the landing on any one of those things. And that's a problem, because like, I've seen this with so many films that to me just feel like they're stretching everything out super thin, and we never get the payoff that we really deserve because it wants to do all of these things and can't actually do them because it doesn't have the narrative space to do it. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's super frustrating. Also, incredibly misogynistic. It, like, not even the kind where you kind of, like, not look at it. Like,
Well, I mean, it's the main fucking character.
And I don't think he's intended to be a misogynist, so it's not like...
Well, no, like I said, I'm pretty sure he's like, Luc Besson's wish-fulfillment character. He's the character there for every little boy who desperately wanted to fuck Laureline. Like, that,
that's,
you know...
That's so creepy.
It's super creepy. Gross. If that wish fulfillment character is not for you, and this is not me saying that wish fulfillment fanfiction is bad, I have written some of it myself in the past. I, however, did not film it with a $170 million budget.
True. Or put two actors in the role so that you can watch them do it.
No.
I didn't mean that as a euphemism, just to be clear.
God, no.
Because there is a scene that strongly suggests they're going to do it in a space capsule.
Oh, God. It's so gross. Like, this whole everything in this movie that Valerian is involved in is just gross.
It is kind of gross, yeah. Well, in any case, we do have to grade this thing and get out of here and go on with our lives so that we can maybe talk about a movie that's not crap at a future venture. So we'll start with you, Paul. Quick final thoughts and your grade, sir.
Oh, do I have to think about this movie anymore? It was after the first 3 minutes of this movie, okay, maybe 6 minutes if you include the pearls, this movie just went straight down into the bottomless abysses of disappointment and giant potential wasted. I don't even know how I grade this thing. Oh, God.
Well, we use letters and pluses and minuses.
I know that. I know, but the more I think about this movie, the more I hate it. I mean, I thought, like, I went on a movie, like, well, that was an interesting spectacle, and the more I thought about it over the last few days, like, the more I disliked it. But, all right. I am going to not fail this thing, but because some things look cool and it,
you're pulling a Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets right now, but not getting to the damn point, Paul. Give us a grade.
All right. I will give it a. I will give it a D.
A D, solid D.
D D D D.
All right.
D for enough. Dick, because that's all they're thinking in this movie.
So much Dane Dehan Dick alliteration for the win.
Yeah.
Good God.
All right, Alex. What about you?
So, I believe that if you remove the character of Valerian entirely, that this would be an almost watchable film. The biggest problem that I had with it is really that Valerian basically is a Michael Bay hero when you come down to it.
Oh, even worse, I would argue. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, he's just super gross. So I, too, am going to give it a D. I am not giving it a D- because it gets a bump up in grade because it's super pretty. And I liked Laureline for the most part. And there are actual good... Actually, no, you know what? I will give it a D+. I will be even nicer because there were things that when Valerian was not on the screen that I actually enjoyed. But there's no fucking way I would ever watch this movie again unless you made me a supercut where Valerian doesn't exist.
I will get to work on that right away just for you.
Yes.
Fantastic. So based on your Michael Bay comment, I wonder if we could just think of as Valerian as what Michael Bay would be like if he were himself in his own movie.
Probably.
Yeah, because that seems pretty close. I think that's accurate.
Like, he's repulsive, but everyone likes him anyway because this is fan fiction.
Oh, yeah, he is repulsive. Okay, so my final thoughts. Most of what I've already said, I think everybody knows. Rihanna is utterly wasted. That pisses me off. The story is just, it's stretched thin. That pisses me off. I came into this movie with a lot of expectations because I love The Fifth Element. I like a lot of Luc Besson's work. Not all of it, but a lot of it. It's a lot of fun. And this was like one where like he has the budget. He could really pull something off that's really special. I thought maybe we'd get there. And then when I watched this, as we already said, right, the first 5-6 minutes, whatever those two sequences take up, fantastic. I was like really into it. I was like, this is so interesting. This is like amazing. The visuals are incredible. And then I just like was like somebody, it was like watching that, like you remember when your friends, like before we had Rick Rolling, it was like people would make you watch a video and in the front of it would be something just totally normal. And then at the end of it, it'd be something horrifyingly gross, like two girls in a cup or something. Remember that? That's what this feels like to me. I got tricked. I got tricked into watching something I didn't want to watch. And I don't know, I just came out of this being really just incredibly disappointed. And I hate that. I hate coming out just that disappointed about a film. At least if it could have just been only sort of crappy, that would have been fine. But no. So is this the worst movie we've ever watched for anything on this show? No. But I would not own it as I do Jupiter Ascending, because I don't think there's enough here that gives me anything fun to think about. Whereas at least Jupiter Ascending had some ideas that were worth reconsidering. So
this is true. I mean, you know, I bag on Jupiter Ascending a lot just because I found it extremely boring when I watched it. And if that was not your reaction, that is totally fine. We are all allowed to have different opinions. And there were a lot of things that I liked about Jupiter Ascending. I just have no need to ever watch it again. But if you held a gun to my head and said you have to watch one of these two space opera movies that have sorely disappointed you and made you angry, I would watch Jupiter Ascending again.
Me too. Because there's stuff in Jupiter Ascending I actually enjoy. I think that the best line of that whole movie is when she says, "I like dogs."
Oh, I mean, it's got some fantastic stuff in it. Like, you know, it's space rollerblades and no Valerian. What more could you want from a movie?
So my grade would be, I'd actually give this a D-. It doesn't get any points except for looking pretty and having a couple of interesting things, and that's about it. Otherwise, just save your money. Don't go see this.
So we average out to a D.
Pretty yep. much. Yeah,
Sean and I cancel out, so
yeah,
the floor is yours, Paul.
I have one more thing to say to Loreline. Loreline, you could do so much better.
Oh my god, yes.
She could.
Okay, so I want to write some fan fiction where like Bubble isn't actually dead; she just turns into sand to get Valerian to go away because he's gross and creepy. And then like Bubble and Loreline run off and have adventures together. And maybe there's like some lesbian stuff, but it's very fully developed and only after a significant number of times.
And even if not, then that's okay, because we could have a really cool platonic relationship between two women.
Well, yeah, it would be like a buddy cop adventure with Bubble and Loreline. Like,
oh my
how
God.
Could you go wrong?
Right? I'd watch the shit out of that. That would be amazing. Oh, okay, we're going to be writing that. That's going to be the next film that we're going to produce. So
yes.
Be prepared for it, Hollywood. It's coming. yeah. In any case, so if you have opinions on this, you'd like to let us know what you think, you can find us on Twitter at SkiffyandFanty. You can also send us an email, SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com. You can also support us on Patreon, which is like the greatest thing in the world. It's patreon.com/SkiffyandFanty. By the time this will have gone up, the first issue of the Robogoblin Gazette, our very weird collection of strangeness from all of the various people involved with the podcast, includes fiction, nonfiction. Alex has a bunch of wonderful new films coming out from Michael Bay, which is very important and I think is a public service that needed to be done. So thank you for that. So if you're at all interested in something like that, please go to Patreon and support us, patreon.com/SkiffyandFanty. All right. So I think we're done, right, guys?
We're done, thankfully.
Mercifully. And in a much shorter time than this movie.
Ding! All right. Well, then on that note, awkward ending and scene.
You're welcome, citizens. You're welcome.
thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com, on Twitter at skiffyandfanty, on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show, and on Patreon at patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. Our intro and outro music comes from The Launch by Chronux. You can find out more about their music at freemusicarchive.org.